Good morning to Jason Cans on this Friday. What a weather week, huh?
Yeah, it's been really good. I had the window open in our bedroom last night. It was nice to let the cool air kind of come on in, and just really nice. I would take that for another couple months, I think.
Well, you're not going to get it for a couple months. You get it a couple more days, okay? A couple more days. Yeah. It's been quite a week. It's hard being in the office this week. Like, oh, I want to get out there. So,
you know, what happens is patients will come into the office and they'll say, oh, it's so nice outside. And I'll say, yeah, thanks. I'm here inside
yeah,
right now.
Right. Hey, I want to talk with you again. The developing story this morning is that Joe Biden has taken the lead in Georgia. Without that state, President Trump cannot get to 270 electoral votes. We know that the South is hugely important. But that's in terms of the immediate moment. I want to step back and just talk about something when it comes to power. We talk about being elected to positions of power in government, power over and power under. Now, you are a centurion. This is a Chuck Colson program. We've talked about it in the past, but our own pal Wall is one. And so real briefly, I mean, you tell me what a centurion is.
Yeah, so Chuck Colson, many years ago, of course, before he died, had set up this program basically to try to train 100 people a year from all over to develop a understanding of biblical worldview and be able to defend a biblical worldview in the public square, you know. And so he brought together people in all sorts of backgrounds. So faculty included folks like John Stone Street and Chuck Colson, of course, and we would have people like from World Magazine and, yeah. and Johnny Erickson Tada would come in. And it's just a really deep and rich training program that we ended up going through.
I think our own Pat Wall gets together with some of the alums every so often. I don't know if they ought to invite you. If they didn't, anyhow, if you heard about that. But
yeah, I've been invited to some of those. I feel like my time has been somewhat limited, and so I've avoided most of those. But
having set that as a background, the next 2 minutes, power over versus power under. It seems to me that politics is about power over. And I'm not saying we shouldn't, you know, vote and get involved and run for office, but it seems like, you know, I'm thinking that Jesus taught us this idea of power under, about, I mean, humility and service. So when Jesus came, let me just ask you some questions. When Jesus came, I mean, didn't some of his disciples think he was going to, you know, lead to being a political leader even in his own day?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that was the understanding that came through. You know, when James and John were asking for positions in his kingdom, I mean, it was not so much a kingdom of service and other-centeredness. It was, you know, when you are ruling, you know, over the world, we want to be there at your side. And, you know, and it was really a vision of controlling other nations.
Aren't there some who even believe that Judas's own disgruntlement, maybe with Jesus, was that he had hoped he'd be a political leader, and you didn't see that happening?
Right, exactly. You know, and I think that was the final straw for him. Is just kind of Jesus broke all these expectations, and Judas went to where he saw power, and so, you know, he went to the Sanhedrin and said, you know what, I'm done with him. And so, I think you're right.
And then even if we fast forward to a few centuries later and Constantine becoming a political leader who kind of, maybe came to faith himself. And then it seemed like that is a significant demarcation in the history of the church in terms of, you know, this mix of faith in the government, right?
Yeah, you know, I think Constantine, so what is that, 300, something like that. You know, I think in terms of numbers, the Christian kingdom in the world spread widely because he made it so. You know, but again, I think you're exactly right. There was this conflation, this mixing up of politics, of power, and of faith, and suddenly, you know, Christians got a taste of power. I think the early church got a taste of power. That became, in many cases, the operating structure that the church went by.
And then, I guess, last, again, jumping from the, you know, third or fourth century to the present day, but, I mean, just the idea of the call of powering over or lording it over to power under, kind of a humility. So I see Jesus, the Son of God, on his knees washing feet. And at Philippians 2, 5 through 8, I think is essential. Your verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that, you know, of Christ Jesus, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant, etc. I mean, again, yes, vote, be involved, all of those kind of things, run for office. But I just feel like for us individually, I want you to close this out. I mean, power over versus power under. How do we take that into our own hearts and minds and lives heading into the weekend and the rest of the year?
Well, I think for all of us, things get stirred up, right? I mean, we get angry, we get afraid, we get scared. And so the desire is to try and take back as much control as we can, you know, but to remember Jesus' words, you know, love as I've loved. And he says that right in John 13, where he says that, you know, he wants them to serve in the way he served, love in the way he loved. And it's good for us to remember that even public politicians are called to be servants. And I think it's just good for us to come back to that day by day.
Yeah. And we've had some in both parties who've been great examples of that in days gone by and even still today. So Hey, thank you so much, Jason. Appreciate it. Have a good weekend. Enjoy that good weather. It's not going to last forever. I'm sorry. All right. Well, we're going to get to that a song for 2020. But first off, this is following up on a story from earlier in the week. Toy Hall of Fame. There were 12 finalists, including Light Bright, My Little Pony, and Tamagotchi. And those three did not make it into the Toy Hall of Fame. Yeah, heartbreak in Rochester, New York.
Okay, so Rochester, New York, I was thinking, hey, I'd love to go to the Toy Hall of Fame someday. Someday when travel is more acceptable and New York's not saying no one from state other than bordering states can get in here.
We're both sports fans. Cooperstown, New York has the Baseball Hall of Fame. So
yeah, see them both.
There you go. Family vacation. The three that made it, Baby Nancy, Jenga, and Sidewalk Chalk, are now in the National Toy Hall of Fame.
Right on.
And they've waited a long time. It's just something that people always say with Hall of Fame choices.
Do they get gold jackets?
Yes. Baby Nancy, a black baby doll with natural hair made by Shindana Toys in 1968, community-owned company dedicated to making toys reflecting black pride. Sidewalk Chalk was chosen because historians believe even the earliest humans played with chalk.
Huh.
And Jenga is named after the Swahili word to build, created by an English woman based on the wooden blocks she played with as a child in Africa.
Have you ever played with yard Jenga? I haven't seen that before. I have seen it before, but I haven't played it, but where it's like the big, almost like cube.
Okay. I've
only
played cube a couple of times myself.
But it's almost like that size of wooden blocks and you play it out in the yard. So
my question, morning is, I mean, My Little Pony, hard feelings? I'd like to get an interview.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering about that, too. And, I mean, Light Bright didn't make it either?
No.
Wow.
I mean, Light Bright might just say, fine, I'm just going to go dark for the weekend.
Is there the possibility of a recount with the Toy Hall of Fame?
That's hilarious.
Anyway, well, speaking of all the things going on in 2020, you found just a tremendous inspirational song for what we've all been through.
We had a great time with Mark Schultz Day yesterday, and I think we're going to talk to him on Monday, right?
Yeah, Monday at 8:45.
All right, looking forward to it. The big concert a week from Sunday. Get your tickets for the Northern Lakes Community Church in Cumberland, 6 o'clock on November 15th. But Mark Schultz, great storyteller, and people have likened him to Billy Joel as kind of Mark Schultz, the Billy Joel of CCM telling stories. And so one of the songs, Billy Joel kind of has a long story song, is called Piano Man. So a guy on TikTok said, hey, I'm going to take Piano Man and I'm going to do a song but with the lyrics for 2020. So we've got it for you this morning.
We hope it blesses you. Well, we like traditions here on the WIB Wake Up Show, and it's our Friday morning tradition at around 7:45 that we give you our headlines. It's all the things that you just might have missed. News, sports, politics, pop culture, whatever might be going on, we bring it to you in condensed form because we respect your time. Again, it's headlines. Here we go.
According to the latest report, more and more women have spent time in prison.
Makes you think twice about cutting off a soccer mom in traffic. Scientists say misophonia is the inability to endure other people's chewing, crunching, or sniffling.
A sufferer's worst nightmare is to be trapped in a room full of six-year-olds with colds during lunchtime.
Oh, dear. Heaven help them.
A survey finds that an amazing 75% of American kids under the age of four have their own mobile communication devices.
Yo, Grandma, let me hit you back. I gotta take this. Hey, well, Halloween is over.
You know what that means. It's time to finish off the candy and start training for Thanksgiving dinner.
You got it.
Mm-hmm. A study finds that Americans who eat the healthiest have a limited number of items that they eat. Unhealthy eaters tend to have a wider variety of favorites.
For example, healthy eaters eat tofu, while unhealthy eaters eat tofu covered with chocolate chips and sprinkles.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you all know that Tuesday was Election Day, but did you know it was also Sandwich Day to celebrate the birth of John Montague, 4th Earl of Sandwich, who created the world's first fast food sandwich.
Wow. And we also have to thank Ronald McDonald, Earl of Drive-Thru.
Appreciate them both.
Mm-hmm. And finally, the election was Tuesday, and extensive lines were reported at many polling places.
A lot of people were really disappointed when they finally got to the front of the line and realized, hey, it's not for the iPhone 12.
Ah, man, I got that wrong.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up. Well, Havel, this is the second year of something we call Home for the Holidays. It's a chance to bring someone home for Christmas that might not otherwise be able to come, or send someone, get someone where they need to be so they can reunite with loved ones that they may not have seen for a long time, or because of difficulties financially might not be able to see for Christmas. And we're so excited to do this for the second year. It's time now at 15 past 8. Simultaneously right now, there's a video releasing on Facebook to let everyone know what their votes accomplished. Because again, we don't decide this at the station. Your votes decide. And just want to give a shout out at the beginning to the great sponsors that brought you Home for the Holidays 2020. Mike and Sissy Knops of MSK Realtors, Bath Fitter of Minnesota and Western Wisconsin, and Williams Diamond Center of Eau Claire. Also, Nate Moquin of Copper Key Home Solutions, Culver's of Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls and Rice Lake, and Royal Credit Union, all making it possible for us to provide up to $1,000 for somebody to go home for the holidays. Now, we invited our top four, Halvo, onto a Zoom call, kind of a 2020 thing, invited them all to be in this top four Zoom call, and then share a little bit of their stories in person. First, Rachel from Chippewa Falls told us about why they want to go see Grandpa Mario.
Your children haven't been able to be down there to see him, and so you really want them to have some time with their grandpa.
That's right.
Or he may be called home.
Yep, and my husband did travel down there last July when he was hospitalized, and prayed over him, and they did see a lot of recovery during that time when he went down there, but as times went on, I mean, he's been in and out of the hospital this year, so we know that we're just pressed for time.
Dee from Stanley told us about why she would like to bring her daughter Candace home.
Ever since she was a little girl, has wanted to be a missionary. That's always been her desire. We would really like for her to be able to come home for Christmas. And initially they had said they would open up for travel on December 15th. So we're really, really praying that that is the case.
Sure.
And that she'll be able to come home for Christmas.
How long has it been since you've seen her?
It was a year ago in July.
Jennifer from Menominee told us about why she would like to go see her son, Andrew, who's serving in the U.S. Navy.
They finally got to Guam as they were heading home, and one of his shipmates drowned, and it was very, very hard on this crew. They were on a destroyer, so it's a smaller crew, and they did become very close, obviously, during this 8.5-month period. But they literally have come home to a prison. They're in San Diego, California. They're not letting any military members come home right now, at least not in the Navy. Unless they live in like 150-mile radius of San Diego. I have become a second mom to many sailors out in San Diego right now. And my husband and I would love to be able to go out there for Christmas, get an Airbnb, and make a dinner for anybody who wanted to come.
And finally, Julie from Osseo told us about why she would like to bring her daughter Rachel and family home for the holidays.
I nominated my daughter Rachel. She married a Coast Guardsman many years ago, and they have been all over the states with different stations. They were in Virginia, then they were in Kodiak, Alaska, and now they are in Clearwater, Florida. We've got two grandbabies by them and a third on the way. There's not much left at the end of each month on the military pay. She stays at home with the kids. This would be the sixth year we haven't seen her for Christmas. They're great people, but they want to stay out of debt.
So those are our top four stories. Now, to reveal who was our winner thanks to your votes.
Our top vote getter for Home for the Holidays 2020. Julie, we're going to help you get your daughter and her family back for Christmas.
What?
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you all so much. It's been an honor being in this program and reading all those stories. It just, you're right. It just brings so many emotions. I was crying over some of them thinking, oh, gosh, I don't know if we belong here necessarily because the stories are so amazing. But thank you so much.
Absolutely. May God bless you and your family. And if I can hold you all on the call just a bit longer, I wanted to share something pretty cool that happened through this. We had a local business call us and say that they've been listening to WWIB and had been incredibly moved by the Home for the Holiday stories they've been hearing. And they asked, they said, we want to remain completely anonymous, but they said, if we gave $1,000, could you help someone else? Okay. And of course we said, absolutely. And so that leaves us with another gift to give away, ladies. So incredibly pumped to be able to do this. We thought the most fair thing to do would be to go with the entry that came in second in the voting. And so, Jennifer, you're going to go see your son in San Diego.
That's so incredible.
Thank you.
And again, it's amazing to see this. We never solicited for this. We had our plan, but again, someone was so moved, they said, could I help? Been so moved by all of the stories. Dee and Rachel, we thank you so much for being part of this today.
Thank you.
The funny thing about God is he has a way of doing more than we could ever, ever ask or expect.
Right.
So I told you about that business. Completely independent of that, two other individuals approached us and asked if they also could give $1,000.
Yes!
To go home for Christmas. And so by the goodness of God, each of you is getting $1,000 as well.
Oh my God.
Wow.
God is so, so good. Merry Christmas to you all.
Thank you so much.
We had no idea that this would happen, and each one, separate from the others, they all came to us and said God had been moving in their hearts and they wanted to help someone else. And so, solely by his goodness, may he get all the glory.
Wow.
And be able to grant the Home for the Holidays wishes of all of you.
Thank you so much. I'm in shock.
The most fun I have ever had on a Zoom call, Havel. Praise the Lord.
Do people get what happened there? We told you this morning we were going to have the announcement of the winner, somebody getting up to $1,000 from WWIB to either travel to a loved one or bring them here. Caleb, it got quadrupled.
It did. And again, we have our wonderful business sponsors. We'll thank them one more time. But they provided so that we could give $1,000 from WWIB, even in a year like this, be able to give that to one person to help them have their Home for the Holidays wish fulfilled. But independent of one another, three separate individuals, one business, two individuals approached us and said, we don't want any credit. We don't want any recognition. But God is moving in our hearts to try and help one of these stories, one of these wishes be fulfilled. And so congratulations to Dee, to Rachel, to Julie, and to Jennifer from all over our listening area. Not us.
One of my favorite verses is from Zechariah 4:6. The Lord says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. And I just, boy, that's all over this story.
And again, we want to thank so much the sponsors. I wasn't sure if this would be able to happen this year. And we had sponsors that said, absolutely, we want to do this. So again, Mike and Sissy Knops of MSK Realtors, thank you. Thank you, Bathfitter of Minnesota and Western Wisconsin. Thank you, Williams Diamond Center of Eau Claire. Thank you, Nate Moquin of Copper Key Home Solutions. Culver's of Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls and Rice Lake, thank you to them. Local ownership there and Royal Credit Union, thank you as well. And again, our deepest debt of gratitude goes to our God who says, hey, this might be your plan, but my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. And I want to do something special this year.
Fantastic.
Well, Halvo, we've just roared through another week, and here we are, final segment of the week, and it's your gift to the morning show every single Friday.
We got it for you. 2.5 minutes worth the best of the week right now.
Clinophobia is the fear of going to bed. My 9-year-old has that. Absolutely. She'd stay up all night.
Aha, yes, indeed. Why did the math book look so sad, Caleb?
I don't know.
Because of all of its problems.
Hi, my name is Lexi. Where does snowmen get their money? From a snowbank.
So I'm saying no to the kale candy canes and anything called poop.
Yep. Other than that,
yeah,
bring it on.
I'm giving it a
try. Merry Christmas.
Following up on a story from earlier in the week, Toy Hall of Fame, there were 12 finalists, including Light Bright, My Little Pony, and Tamagotchi. And those three did not make it into the Toy Hall of Fame. Yeah,
really?
Heartbreak in Rochester, New York.
I love fishes because they're so delicious. Goldfishes.
Okay, I don't know that.
I have kids.
Boy, what a great message there. You are a child of mine. I think about 1 John 3:1. I love that verse. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we, and I hear it as even we, might be called children of God. And then it says in the New Living, and that is what you are. I just love that.
Yeah, just incredible, too, to think about who we are in Christ. We're sinful and flawed, but we are loved and welcomed. Havo, can February march?
I think.
No, but April, May.
Oh, boy. Woo, look at you working the months. My goodness. The three that made it, Baby Nancy, Jenga, and Sidewalk Chalk, are now in the National Toy Hall of Fame.
Right on.
And they've waited a long time. It's just something that people always say with Hall of Fame choices. Hey, what do you call cheese that isn't yours?
I don't know.
Nacho cheese. My question, though, this morning is, I mean, My Little Pony, hard feelings? I'd like to get an interview.
Well, yeah, I'm wondering about that, too. And, I mean, Light Bright didn't make it either?
No.
Wow.
I mean, Light Bright might just say, fine, I'm just going to go dark for the weekend.
Is there the possibility of a recount with the Toy Hall of Fame?
That's hilarious.
Mark, it's inappropriate to make a dad joke if you're not a dad. It's a faux pas.
Aha!
That's my favorite one of all of them.
A guy on TikTok said, hey, I'm going to take Piano Man, and I'm going to do a song but with the lyrics for 2020. So we've got it for you this morning.
We hope it blesses you.
Oh, man!
Yeah, that was fitting. The best of the week, courtesy of Mark Halverson here on the WIB Wake Up Show. Well done once again, Mark.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun. And minus the Home for the Holidays big announcement, in case people missed it at 8:15, they got to go check it out on the Facebook page.